This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Some of you don't care about anything other than the Commanders, understandably, but I care about the league as a whole. We told you the salary cap, 279.2. We told you Travis Kelce's coming back. Yay, AMAC, that means more Taylor Swift. More Tay-Tay, please.
Sincerely.
Yeah. I saw one of the Kansas City Chiefs' wives, girlfriends, whatever she is. I don't know. I think it's of Trey Smith, the free agent guard, but I could be wrong on that. Somehow she came up on Threads, okay, which is like the offspring of Instagram or something.
Yeah. The Twitter
right?
of Instagram.
Yeah, the Twitter of Instagram. And she was showing all sorts of videos of the wives and the girlfriends of the Chiefs players, I guess for the AFC Championship game, all heading towards the field after they won against the Bills. And their Tay-Tay is just like part of the crowd, right? I mean, just, you know, like waving to the camera and just, you know, she seems from a very, 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 very far distance, like semi-normal. She seems that way. Although, there was a story, I don't know if you were here or if it was Mad Max, I can't remember, last week, maybe a week and a half ago that we had, that she can't even go pee in the bathroom without security guarding her. Her own
You're lying.
I know, I'm being honest. Her own security guard, a male, has to literally go into the bathroom with her after they clear out the bathroom because fans won't leave her alone. So she can't squat and pee. Because fans won't leave her alone. The Swifties. So anyway.
Are you a Swiftie?
I am not a Swiftie. I mean, I like some of her songs. I am not a Swiftie. I will tell you this, though. Right? The NFL keeps getting bigger and bigger television ratings. I think a lot of that over the last year and a half has been largely due to her.
Ooh, that's a...
That's yeah.
A
hot, because she has brought the Swifties to the NFL to watch her man. Because she now loves the NFL. Trust me, look at the data, right? Even though television ratings are a mishmash soup of inaccuracy, since she started going to Chiefs games and being shown regularly on Chiefs broadcasts and therefore the Super Bowl and all the playoff games, the numbers have gone meteorically up. Now, some of that, the dip, what have you, or whatever, was maybe because... you know, of COVID or what have you, right? And some of the controversies and all that stuff. But in the last, let's just call it 2 years, ratings, especially for playoff games and Chiefs games, have gone through the roof. Even the Super Bowl this year, which sucked and was dominated by the Eagles and supposedly was a tired matchup. Considered by many to be a tired, boring, oh, I don't want to see these two teams again, blah, 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 blah. $126 million, supposedly. And again, supposedly, because they don't actually measure 126 million people watching it or anything like that. It's based on the tiniest random sample size that you could possibly imagine. And then they extrapolate it based on some outdated statistical Bell theory. Anyway, can you tell I'm a little grouchy today? And I slept okay.
Was it the traffic?
The traffic wasn't even that bad. I slept okay. It was the last day of the week. I just, you know, there are things that get under my skin that have to be corrected, that I have to expose, that I have to make sure that the record is set on. There's just things. All right, I want to get to this. So the NFL is in the midst of the combine, right? And there's all sorts of stories about the rule changes and the data and whatever. A couple of things that we found out in the last day or two, and that is on the tush push play, supposedly zero injuries were suffered because of the tush push play this past year. I don't know how they determine that, because, I don't know, Chris Jones of the Chiefs was seen on camera laboring, rubbing his neck, shoulders, what have you, after the Jalen Hurts tush-push touchdown, right after that, on the sidelines for the Chiefs. So I don't know how they determine that, but they've determined that. There's been this push by certain teams, Green Bay, even Sean McDermott, Buffalo, to get rid of the tush-push. You would have thought, maybe like the Commanders, would have been anti-tush-push because of what happened in the NFC Championship game, but apparently not. Or at least we haven't heard that part yet. Then, and I want to get back to that. Then there's this. The NFL, according to the Associated Press and other reports, considering changing overtime rules again to decrease the advantages for teams that win the coin toss. Troy Vincent, top league executive, former player, said, quote, "It's time to rethink the overtime rule." Said the competition committee agrees overtime rules need to be addressed. Receiving the ball first becomes more of an advantage than before 2011, when overtime was sudden death. Receiving teams won 56.8% of overtime games from 2017 through 2024, which was up slightly. 56.8% up slightly from 55.4% from 2001 through 2011. So there was a window there. I don't know where the data is from 2011 through 2016, but it's not listed here. But again, 56.8% of overtime games are won over the last 7 or 8 years by receiving teams to start overtime, meaning the teams that obviously win the coin toss receive. And why? Well, again, because in the regular season, you score a touchdown, right, on that first possession of overtime, the opponent doesn't even get the ball, okay? Which, again, I think is fair. I got no problem with it. If 56, 57%, whatever, if there's a slight advantage towards the coin toss, well, you know, okay. But just because you win the coin toss, just because you get the ball first, does not mean that you're going to score a field goal or a touchdown. And obviously, a touchdown is much harder to score than a field goal. But they want to change it. They want to look at data, whatever. They say both teams, you know, currently get an opportunity to possess the ball in overtime unless a touchdown is scored on the first possession. So, again, that's where this, you know, of course, goes to. Now, as you know, there's different rules in the postseason, right? The rules are different in the playoffs. We know that. Both teams get a chance to have a possession even if the offense scores a touchdown on the opening drive, which, of course, came out of that Bills-Chiefs game in Arrowhead, which I thought was total BS. Again, you know, like everybody that wants fair across the board, no, life is not fair. Football is not fair. Stop somebody. You know, the Chiefs were so pissed off that the Patriots won the AFC Championship game back in, what was it, 2018 or whatever it was? You know, stop somebody. Force a turnover. Get out of here with this nonsense. And then the Bills were upset because they didn't get an opportunity when they blew that game. Okay? And now they're talking about having overtime rules in the playoffs be the same as the regular season. And also, potentially, re-extending the overtime window to 15 minutes. All right, so let's take piece by piece here. One, I'm always a fan of having the same rules in regulation or the regular season as in the postseason. I understand I'm a big hockey mark, got it, and the rules are very, very, very different. I think there is a difference when you're playing 82 regular season games as opposed to 17. But the reason why they went from 15 minutes to 10 minutes in the regular season was because as the league's primetime and exclusive window game desires are met and pushed and are the most important thing in the league's eyes, as opposed to player safety and player recovery and player injuries and whatnot, if you ask a team to play, say, potentially up to a 15-minute overtime period on Sunday afternoon, and then ask them to play again on Thursday night, is that really fair? And again, when you're doing the schedule, you can't predict that a Sunday afternoon game is going to go to a 15-minute overtime, but occasionally it happens. Now, obviously, again, by limiting the 15-minute window to 10 minutes, they've taken 5 minutes and all the extra wear and tear, extra minutes, extra this, extra that, off. I don't have a problem with the 10-minute window in the regular season, okay? I don't have a major problem because I understand what it's getting at. The problem is if you use the postseason rules for each team mandatory, no matter what happens on that opening kickoff, getting a possession, each team, you're going to get more ties with the 10-minute window. If you go back to the 15-minute window, that's better, although still not guaranteed, but better to avoid more ties. But again, by going from 10 to 15 minutes, what are you doing? You're adding more wear and tear. You're adding more potential injuries, more potential everything. Bad stuff, right? And again, if a team is playing, say, a 13-minute overtime period on Sunday afternoon, even at a 1 o'clock game, and then they got to play again on Thursday afternoon, Thanksgiving week in Dallas, with a 3-hour and 15-minute plane trip, like the Commanders do every other year. That's hard, man. It's already a ridiculous turnaround. And by the way, don't believe any of the bull crap that you hear from the NFL about, oh, there's no more injuries on Thursday night games than there is for Sunday games or Monday games. Don't believe any of the nonsense about the tush push and no injuries. Okay? Because, first of all, they're not talking, for the Sunday to Thursday turnaround, they're not talking about guys, they're only talking about guys that get hurt in Thursday night games. I'm talking about the real problem is the guys that can't play in the Thursday night games or are 60% instead of 80% or 85% if they would have had until Sunday to recover. See, the NFL doesn't want you to realize the truth. And the truth is, yeah, sure, data could tell you a lot of things that you want, right? I mean, in a lot of sports. And no more guys get injured playing on Thursday nights than they do on Sunday afternoons or Monday nights. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, can guys get on the field at all in that quick turnaround window? Or are guys getting on the field at 70% or 65% instead of 80 or 85% or 90% if they would add Sunday 1 o'clock? And the answer to that is obviously, to anyone that is paying attention, no. We see it all the time. Guys that are routinely banged up in a Sunday game can't make it to Thursday night because the turnaround time is so short. Maybe they wouldn't have played Sunday either, but they damn sure as hell would have had a better chance. That's the problem. The NFL doesn't want you to think that. Right? The NFL doesn't want you to think that. Just like when they shortened the 15-minute overtime to 10 minutes, they used, player safety, this, that, and the other thing. But really, and ultimately, if they were worried about player safety, truly worried, they would realize that even a 10-minute overtime period played on a Sunday or a Monday night and then playing another game Sunday at 1 o'clock, say, on the road, which they do all the time, is not right, is not fair, is not competitively balanced. And while players might statistically not suffer more injuries during those games, it's the players that can't play in those games, or even if they can play, that are severely compromised, and then that potentially leads to more injuries. So again, it's all twisted, right? So the NFL comes out and says, oh, no more injuries. They're going to keep the tush-push, right? Because there's no injuries associated with the play. To some people, that was the end-all be-all, right? If there were more injuries, then they would say, oh, good reason to get rid of it. For me, there was no good reason to get rid of it with the exception of one thing. The original premise of having players shove other players from behind into a pile and therefore forward is the problem. In addition to centers lining up over the football. You could see it down the line on camera shots. And why? It's to get that downward dog motion, if you will, at the crown point of the brotherly shove or the tush push. That's the problem. That's the problem. And along with, it used to be illegal to push, to shove a guy from behind. And they said, well, officials couldn't clearly see it. Well, guess what? You got replay review. You got replay assist. Use the technology that you have. If somebody shoves somebody from behind in an effort to move them forward that they naturally wouldn't achieve by themselves, which is the whole sport of football, that part should be the illegal part. That's the only reason why you should get rid of the brotherly shove or the tush push. Not because there's injuries or no injuries. Not because nobody can stop it, because some teams can stop it. Not because the Eagles are so good at it. It's because it simply doesn't make sense to allow a play, a sequence, where A, the center is usually, maybe even constantly, lining up over the football. And on top of that we are getting a formation that allows the offense to, again, assist, shove, push, guide, whatever, their player across the line of game, whether it be for a touchdown or whether it be simple third and one or fourth and one or whatever. That's the whole issue. As far as I'm concerned, the brotherly shove or the tush push should only stay if by formation they can get the line of gain and passed by formation, by legal blocking, by not pushing, by not shoving, and by not having the center or any of the other offensive line up illegally in the neutral zone or even ahead of the football. That's the problem. And nobody seems to realize this. Nobody seems to be talking about this. It's just, the injury data, this, that, the other. No. It has nothing to do with the Eagles being in the Super Bowl and all the theories that I've heard. Nothing to do with that. All right, so, again, some thoughts on the potential overtime changes. There is a potential kickoff change. And then the one that is absolutely driving me crazy, which I'll get to next. Your thoughts on anything and everything that we just discussed, the brotherly shove, the tush push, all of that, all of the potential rule changes, the overtime, which way do you like it, which way do you want it, because you guys are the fans and you guys are the viewers. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Back in a flash on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, good to have you with us on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Some more NFL breaking news. AMAC just pointed this out to me. Schefter reporting just a couple of minutes ago that the Chiefs, we mentioned Trey Smith earlier in this hour with Tay-Tay. Apparently the Chiefs informed Pro Bowl guard Trey Smith that he will be their franchise tag player. And as Schefter points out, the highest paid guard in the NFL is Philadelphia's Landon Dickerson at $21 million per year. The franchise tag for offensive linemen is projected just under $24 million. So, AMAC, I believe I was wrong what I told you during the break, which is that they separate tackles from guards and centers. I guess with what Schefter's saying, and if I now think about it a little bit more, that they don't actually separate it.
Yeah, it would have to be the offensive line as
right,
a whole.
Right, because, you know, again, then you would have to kind of separate value between left tackle and right tackle and this, that, and the other, which makes, franchising a guard or a center a much more costlier proposition than a left tackle or even a right tackle, right? But that's them's be the breaks. You know, again, not everything makes sense in the NFL. There's a lot of things that don't make sense. But you also shouldn't, and I'm sure the NFLPA believes and pushes for this very strongly, that you shouldn't punish a guard or center financially because they're not considered as important as a left tackle or a right tackle. And a right tackle shouldn't be punished financially because he's not considered as important as a left tackle. So that's why they want, all right, you want the franchise tag, which restricts player movement, and therefore the open market, well, you got to give us something. And that's the trade-off right there. So Trey Smith, it looks like, is going to get, and they that was not expected at the start of the offseason. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure there was a legit bona fide report that said Kansas City is not expected to franchise tag anybody. Now, I don't remember who exactly reported that, but that's why things always change. Just like nobody expected T. Higgins. Now, he still hasn't officially gotten it, but nobody expected T. Higgins to get the franchise tag for a second year in a row, and yet that's been the report. Now, the deadline is coming up, I think, on Tuesday, March 4th, I believe it is. So we will see these things and more news come into play. Now, this doesn't really affect the Washington Commanders, okay, because they weren't going to be in the Trey Smith business anyway. Ideally, if you're talking about from a Commander's perspective, even though you have a somewhat significant question about Sam Cosmi and whether he's ready for week one, you pretty much know that Sam Cosmi, at the worst, might have to open up the year on PUP or whatever list, right, and miss the first few games, whether it's four games or three games. I forget all the different rules, and they're constantly changing. At the worst, they're not in the market for a big-time right guard. Remember, we talked about this with Mekhi Becton. They're just not. However, at left guard, I think that's the question. And it got a little bit more muddled this week because they wouldn't directly answer about Brandon Coleman potentially switching to left guard. They just, Adam Peters said, oh, you know, he had a great, you know, he hung in there, tough, resilient, you know, and they said they're going to keep their eyes open. Well, what happens if that's not the plan? If, meaning the plan is to keep Brandon Coleman at tackle. Now, it could be to switch him to right tackle eventually. Don't know. It could be to move him into guard. It could be to keep him at left tackle. I guess we'll have to see, based on who they sign in the first probably couple of days of the new league year in free agency. If they sign a left guard, a starting left guard, that's a very strong indication that Coleman is staying at left tackle. But if they cut Andrew Wiley, which many have speculated on, could they put Coleman eventually at right tackle, which is theoretically a little bit easier to play than left tackle. But all of these things kind of play in. And when you franchise tag a guy like the Chiefs apparently are going to do with Trey Smith, and now you make guard, a $24 million per year position, and center, right and left guard. Now that's kind of the negotiating floor. That's kind of the negotiating base. The franchise tag, as I bitched and moaned about when Kirk Cousins finally got it, it sets the negotiating base. It doesn't mean on a long-term deal Trey Smith is going to get $24 million or more every year. But when you decide to pay me $24 million and I'm an all-pro player and I am the key to your offensive line and I'm the highest-paid guard in football, we're negotiating off of that number, not $18 million per year, not $20 million per year, or wherever you value me. We're negotiating off of that number. That number. All right. 301-230-0980. I know some of you guys want to talk about other things, but I want to get into the tush push, the overtime rules, and then there's one that's driving me absolutely bananas, which I still haven't gotten to, which I've touched, I teased, but I will get to more on the other side, and we'll get finally to your phone calls at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. First, a trending alert right here, right now, on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so we start with the NFL salary cap, which has now officially been set at $279.2 million. That news coming out there. You just heard the news from Adam Schefter about Trey Smith of the Kansas City Chiefs going to be franchise tagged, assuming that that is indeed correct, and that means he's going to make $24 million next year. From the NBA, Greg Popovich holding a meeting, according to Shams Charania of ESPN, and it was the first time that he met with his team since his stroke in November. He will not return this season. His NBA future remains uncertain beyond this year. The Wizards losing at home last night to Portland. The Caps are at home tonight at Capital One Arena as Alex Ovechkin continues his chase for the great one. They will host Jordan Binnington and the St. Louis Blues. 6:45, the coverage over on 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app. Of course, OV12 away. And here on the Team 980, again, we'll have the Mets and the Nationals following... actually, I'm sorry, that is one day ahead. My bad on that. Reading the wrong day. We will have... We will have nothing for you. I'm reading the wrong day. Sorry about that. I'm the wrong week. My bad. I screwed up on that. That is what's trending. All right, good to have you with us. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We're talking overtime, the tush push. And then real quickly, there's this that I wanted to get to. The NFL is expanding considering expanding replay assist to include face mask penalties in other plays. You guys know it drove me absolutely bonkers insane this year. Starting with the Sam Darnold play, Minnesota in Los Angeles, Thursday night football in mid-October, whatever it was. A couple of times Joe Burrow on a Thursday night against the Ravens. There was another one late in the year. I can't remember exactly when it was. There were so many of them. And as, again, the stories all point out, and I just have one up here from the Associated Press and Rob Matty, who says, the second paragraph, officials have missed several obvious face mask penalties this season, including 2 in a 3-week span. Troy Vincent said, when we see it, because I see it like yourselves and the yourselves meaning the media and the fans, I have an opportunity to see it from a different angle and see it from a slow-mo. He says, when you think about the position of where the officials are, things are happening so fast. Sometimes the face mask can be the same color as the gloves. That there's a lot happening. Concerning? Yes, because that's a big miss. That's a big foul. That's why we would like to consider putting that up for membership, to consider putting that foul category that we can see, putting that penalty flag on the field to help. There was a frustration, and we believe that is one category, and we can potentially get it right. All right, so let me stop there because that was a bunch of word salad. Here's the problem. There's a component of this where they're saying what they're not going to do is allow replay assist to correct obvious misses, obvious blown calls, in which there is not a flag thrown. Meaning the flag has to be thrown. We think there's a face mask. Flag. We're calling it a face mask. 15-yard personal foul. Now we can go on replay assist if we see something clear. Oh, it happened in the Detroit-Washington postseason game, playoff game that I was at, Dante Fowler. He got called for an illegal face mask, third quarter. He never even touched the face mask. He grabbed the guy's shoulder. Never even touched the face mask. They can't review that. Why? And here's the thing. It, just in a nutshell, and then I promise I'll get to the calls. They're only apparently going to allow plays to be reviewed by replay assist, which is the video review system that the NFL has. Again, if there's a flag thrown, signifying we think there's a penalty on a face mask, or and maybe it'll be expanded slightly beyond that, but just specifically for the face mask. Only if a flag is thrown, but not if a flag is not thrown. Not if a call is missed. And that was the problem. That was the problem. In the Joe Burrow situation twice in Baltimore on the final drive of that Thursday night game. In the Sam Darnold case, in the one that I was just mentioning for the Commanders, right?
Fowler.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Fowler, they actually threw a flag.
Yeah.
And they did give him a personal foul. That one, apparently under the new presentation, new potential, could be reversed if they go back. But only if a flag is thrown. No, that's not what we want. We need to have a system that corrects the obvious wrong. Not whether there was a flag thrown or not. Because that's part of the problem. They're not seeing it. They're not seeing when it's obvious. That's part of the problem. That has me just, out of all of the shows that I listen to, I complain about officiating so little. I really believe this. That drove me absolutely insane over and over and over again this year. Hey, man, I don't expect officials to see everything. Even stuff right in front of their eyes, I don't expect it. But that's why you have the replay assist. Hey, man, we're not going to do this on every call, on every play, on every holding, on every pass interference, on every this, on every that. We're not going to do this. Let's correct the obviously wrong. The obvious wrong. Let's correct it. Let's get it right. Let's do that. Not only when our officials think they see something, but what they thought they saw is wrong. That's good. I'll take that. But the real problem is what they don't see. That's the problem. And apparently that is a non-starter, according to Troy Vincent. All right, let's get to you on the phones. We're talking overtime, talking the replay assist video, whatever, talking brotherly shove, tush push, whatever you want to get into. We haven't even gotten into the potential modification to the kickoff rule. I know Coach Ian was talking about that. Touch on that when we have time. Let's get to Mike G. in Gaithersburg. What's up, Mike? How are you?
Hi, Chris. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Mike. What's going on?
This is a partial solution, and maybe you can shoot this down, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
If the coin toss, when the coin toss, the team that receives it scores a touchdown, then they have to go for a 2-point conversion. If they make it, then they win the game. If they don't, then you kick off to the other team.
So you're saying leave the regular season rules as is, meaning the first team to score or the first possession after you win the coin flip, whatever, you get the kickoff, you score a touchdown. Instead of that just wins the game by itself, you're saying they need to convert a 2-point conversion. If they do that, they win the game. If they fail on that, then the other team gets a possession, right? Am I understanding your scenario here?
Exactly.
So let me ask you this then, as a counter to that, if the initial scoring team fails on the 2-point conversion, and then the second team, for lack of a better term, gets possession, right? They get a matching possession. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they've got to score a touchdown. Mm-hmm. Then, if they score the 2-point conversion, clearly they would win. But can they kick an extra point and win at that point, or no?
No, I think because it's the better chance, the worse chance of making good on the 2-point percentage wise than you would on the kick. On the extra point.
Okay,
That's fine.
I would have to think more about that. But initial thoughts, because I hadn't thought about that, so it's a good bring up by you. I don't hate that. I think that would add some intrigue. I don't hate that. The problem is, I guess, you would basically be saying to a team, a team that does not win the coin toss, A, if you give up the touchdown, you have a second reprieve. But basically what you're saying is if the offense can make one more play, one more successful play, they're still going to be denying the defensive team an opportunity to get the ball in overtime. And I actually don't mind, again, that component of it. I know a lot of people want everything to be fair and square and everybody to have a possession like they do in overtime. I actually don't mind the current setup and the current rules. Hey, man, make a stop. You have more than an opportunity. But it would add a little bit more, I guess, help and certainly intrigue, I would say, to overtime. The question again becomes, how do you straddle this line of games extending too long, and especially for the teams that are playing on short weeks? And it's not only Sunday to Thursday, it's Monday night to Sunday. It's, it's Sunday night to Saturday, late in the year, all of that stuff. To me, that's still a tricky balance that the league finds itself in, but it's a good, it's an interesting proposition is how I'll label it. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the phone call. Let me get to Jones in the set. Jones, is that right? Or Jonesy?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Jones? How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on?
I like the show. Philly fan.
Okay.
I really do. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, I really do. I really do not like Washington fans complaining about the tush push when back in the day, the Washington players used to carry Joe Washington across the goal line back in the day. People have been pushing the pile forever in football. It's the same thing. Ain't really no difference.
Yeah, but well, here's the problem. If I'm not mistaken, wasn't shoving a player forward, pushing a player forward, changed, outlawed, or modified in, I believe it was 2004, 2005? They had a rule change. It used to be illegal to push or shove a player on your same unit forward. And I remember in college football, I remember Reggie Bush when he was at USC, there was like a big controversy. I have to double check that, but I believe that was the case. I don't remember about Joe Washington. This has nothing at all, I promise you, with me being a Commanders fan, because I'm not. I cover the Commanders. I talk about the Commanders. I would certainly not, and most people would not, identify me as a fan. I have nothing against the Eagles or any other team succeeding or the play. I don't want it banned. I just want it modified. You understand that, A, the component of pushing forward a guy, number one, by formation. Two, don't you, wouldn't you agree with me that the center, whether it's, whether it's Cam Jurgens or whether it was Jason Kelce forever, they line up literally on top, like over the football, or even sometimes with their helmet, the crown of their helmet, past the actual football in order to get that downward motion.
And that would be, and I agree, but that should be offside. That goes without saying. I agree with that, but that's okay. The only thing that I agree with.
Okay.
You should line up offside.
All right, so let's modify the rule, right? Or let's modify what we're calling and allowing, not outlaw the play. I'm in favor of the play staying as long as we're not giving such an advantage to the offense in two ways, in my opinion. You want to live with the brotherly shove aspect of it? Okay, we can talk about that. Let's really enforce the center or any part of the offensive line being ahead of the football or in the neutral zone or over the football, which I think gives them an advantage. I appreciate the phone call. We'll take a timeout. More of your calls coming up. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980, on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app. Clones, what is up? No, actually, it's not the Jim Rome show. All right, let's get to Mark and Chevy Chase. He's been hanging on for a while, wants to talk about the Commanders and free agency. Sorry about the long wait, Mark. How are you?
Hey, I'd like to say I'm doing fine. I'd like to say to these all these rule changes,
yeah,
I wish we could bring back the late 70s, early 80s football with Lester Hayes and Lyle Alzado and the ball is bouncing on the ground and picking them up and running them without the whistles and everything like that. Because you know, I'm still not sure what a catch is today. You know, it's like 2 feet and possession and drink a cup of coffee and stuff. So that's why I say
it's a very confusing sport, I think, to your point. And it's a really difficult sport to navigate and officiate, which is exactly why I was totally in favor of replay assist being used.
Yeah.
But the problem is, as usual, the NFL does not use common sense and does not fix the problem based on their own arrogance or lack thereof common sense. And again, that goes back to, hey, we're only going to use replay assist if our officials call something, throw a flag, and are wrong, and we can correct a wrong. We're not going to use replay assist to correct something that they missed. And that's the problem right there.
Yeah, and all, you know, with the skin, bringing it to the skins for a second, I can't tell you how many years you couldn't go one series without at least one offsides for the skins. And just, you know, our officiating in general, just let them play. You know, let them play. You know, that's how I always feel. And these rules hopefully will let them play for the most part. I have to side against the tush push being a traditionalist. But I had one last thing. I know it's almost break time for you guys. Are the Commanders, are they going to get younger in the free agency? Because I know a few years ago they brought in Landon Collins, who was 24 at the time. I know he didn't work out. But I know, like, Javon Holland's 24, Nick Bolden's 24 years old.
Yes, I think the answer is they would like to certainly get younger. There is no doubt, you know, whether it be by average age, and there's studies about that and all that. I think they would like to be in the business of, instead of signing 34-year-olds, let's sign 24, 25-year-olds. Yes,
right.
Inherently. The problem is in the case of the guys that they signed, for the most part, the 34-year-olds last year, Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz, were so instrumental and so important in their success that it's hard to walk away from all that. Mark, thank you. I appreciate the phone call, and thanks for waiting on hold. Final hour to come, final hour of the week, right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Straight ahead.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.